Good morning, church. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, I want to thank you this morning for giving us this opportunity to be here, to wake up this morning, to rise, to smell the roses, to see the rain, the great gifts that you've given us. Lord, be with us as we go through this week. Be with the ones that couldn't be with us this morning but wanted to. Lord, be with the ones who are sick and shut in. Heal them, help heal them. Be with the ones that are helping them, Lord. Lord, also be with the families of our fallen servicemen as we celebrate their memorial for what they did for us. Lord God, just watch over us as we go this week. In Jesus Christ, amen. Our scripture comes from Psalms 18, chapter 46, verse. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my Savior be exalted. Amen.
Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds. We're marching on to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
Psalm 46:10. The psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Amen. At this time of the year, it's a time of travel for many. And we hope that each and every person that's traveling will reach their destination by God's grace. And each and every person that's going to travel will be safe in the arms of God as they endeavor to do those things at this time of the year that bring them together with their families. And just a little respite is what's needed sometimes at this time of the year. So we're grateful that you are here this morning, and whether you're a member of this Franklin family or a guest or a virtual guest, I'm grateful that God has brought us together today for yet another opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among the saints of God. And shortly open my Bibles to the several scriptures, mostly in the book of Psalms, so you probably can park in the book of Psalms. We're gonna be looking at that quite a bit this morning. And my invitation is for you to join me there, as these verses will serve as the context for today's lesson, God Exalted. God Exalted. You know what I find and have found in my life, that all of us, people in general, tend to make things a lot bigger than what they are. A lot of people want to be recognized, so they tell fish stories. And they make things much bigger than they are as the story goes along. I grew up in a small town where if you walked outside, any given time you'd see minnows, and you'd walk outside and see a little minnow and you'd swear it was a bass fish. We tend to make things much bigger than they are. So today what I want to do is I want to encourage everybody to bring in, not only to bring to the altar of God, but to let God destroy anything that's bigger than life for you. Things that are unpleasant, embarrassing, or downright unwanted memories. I want you to bring them before God, because in your own heart and mind, they may seem bigger than life to you. Get rid of these things and just let's magnify God. Let's make God bigger than those things. Not only that, let's make God bigger than I am. Let's make God bigger than me. It could be a letter from an old ex. It could be a Dear John letter if you're in the military. A medical bill that you're celebrating that's been paid, or a car note, or a home, whatever it is, write it down and Let's not make it bigger than God. Let's symbolically get rid of that. Write it down. Let's get rid of it. Let's throw those lists into the mental shredders of our mind and let go of those painful memories that we hold on to. That's big right now in our lives. Let's get rid of those bad experiences that we made even bigger, those foolish mistakes, those bad relationships, because when it all comes down, it's all about relationships. Let's get rid of those dumb choices that we just can't seem to not feel guilty about. Let's get rid of those new and long-held grudges that we have that we just don't consider any longer, but it's big in your life and it's causing you to not magnify God. I mean, unintentionally, we magnify everything else above God. But today I want to call you into focus to understand that there's nothing in your life that's bigger than God. And there's nothing in your life that you need to magnify and even make it bigger than what it actually is. We tend to tell a lot of fish stories. I think there are times in our lives when we say goodbye to the pain and hurt that we've suffered. There are times in our lives when we do well to let go of our anger and say farewell to our bitterness in our lives and get rid of the hard feelings that have hurt us and caused us pain. And what I want you to do is, after you ponder those things, because those things are real to every last one of us that's sitting here, after you've pondered that and got rid of those things from your mind and your heart, I want you to consider how much the Bible has to say about glorifying God. How much the Bible has to say about exalting God and magnifying God only. I mean, in the book of Acts 11 and 20, the disciples, the Bible says they glorified God. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says you are not your own. You've been bought with a price, so you glorify God in your body. In 2 Thessalonians 1:12, Paul prays that the name of our Lord Jesus be glorified in you. In Psalm 34 and verse 3, this is what the psalmist says. Look what he says. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. I wonder how many people this morning got up thinking that they wanted to just magnify God. There's a lot of things on our minds. There's a lot of things on our lists of things to do. Everything is important in our lives, but is God more important than those things? Have we made those things in our lives more important, bigger than God? I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. There are a lot of related passages to that, but I want to mention just two more to you. You know, in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 47, it's called the Magnificat. It's that way because Mary sings a song of praise to God. When was the last time that you sang a song of praise outside of the assembly to God? Just constantly praising him and thanking him for being who he is in our lives. It begins while Mary is saying, my soul magnifies the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. And then in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, Paul says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Whether it's by life or by death, Christ will be. How you doing with that? How we doing with that today? Because this is the only time that counts right now. Those past things are gone. We are living in the moment right now, and we should be living for God right now. And if God is important to you, which I know that he is, you wouldn't be here in this assembly seeking to be in the presence of God and the assembly of his people. Paul uses the exact same word that Mary used when she said, my soul magnifies the Lord. And that's kind of ironic to me when I was looking at this lesson. It's kind of ironic because the word magnified means to make something bigger. And it's impossible to make God any bigger than he already is. So what are you saying? What does it mean to magnify God or to magnify Christ? I've got a few simple illustrations, a few simple ones. And hopefully everybody, through God's grace, would understand this. We know that in science classes, they give us a telescope and they say, look at the stars. Look at the moon and all those other distant objects. And those things are much bigger than the telescope that we are holding. But the telescope magnifies those things and makes them appear a little closer. They don't seem like they're a billion light years away. When the moon is magnified, it doesn't appear to be hundreds of thousands of miles away. It looks so close sometimes, it's as if you can just almost touch it. And I think that's what Paul means when he said that his desire was to magnify Christ in his body. Paul wants God to appear closer to him, and we ought to want God to appear to be closer to us every waking moment of our lives. Because there are some people, there are some of us who think that God is very distant, that he's far away. There's some people who feel that way because they feel so very small. Listen, there are times when folks look at themselves and they just feel so small. And look around at all these people on the earth and they think about who they are or what they're doing, and there's a presupposition as to what their lives mean to them. And they say, there's no way that God is paying attention to me. Look at all these other people on this earth. There's no way that God is paying attention to me. And sometimes the reason they feel so small is because their problems feel so big. They don't feel like anyone cares. They don't feel like God cares, because for some, God seems just so far away. Here's what I want you to do this morning. And just with a show of hands, we're going to take, a guy told me when I first became a Christian way back in 83, and I was trying to teach him the gospel. He says, you know what, you're putting God in the box. So what I want to do now, I want to put God in the box. But not only do I want to put God in the box, I want to put every problem that you have right now in that box. So put it in the box. And here is the question. Out of all the problems that's in that box, you've got to choose a problem. Would you choose your problems or somebody else's problems? Or would you take God out of that box? A lot of us have a lot of problems that we simply think that my problem is worse than anybody else's, and it is. But put your problem in that box where God is, and then would you pull another problem out that you don't have? Or would you settle for your own problem? Because in that box, only God can solve the problem that you have. You can't do it. And I know for sure that I would not choose anybody else's problems. Why? Because things always seem better than they actually are. There are a lot of people who can't deal with their problems. Why? Because they feel so small, because they're not magnifying God. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But there are a lot of people trying to access God without accessing Christ. That's the problem. It's a problem. Our job is to magnify God, to make God seem closer, and to help us see that Jesus came to show us not only how much God cares for us, but also how God wants us to be close to him. So ask yourself the question, can I get even closer to God than I am right now? Sure you can. But you got to want to do that. You got to think that and speak that and live that. You got to want to be where God is. And not just in the presence of this assembly, each and every waking moment of your life, you need to magnify God. You know, Paul spoke to the people in Athens in Acts chapter 17, and these people were surrounded by hundreds, if not thousands, of different idols and different gods. And Paul walks away. You know what Paul says? Paul says that our God is different. Let me speak to you about a God that you don't know. A God that can solve any and every problem that you can think or imagine. Let me speak to you about that God. He says in Acts chapter 17, 24 through 27, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by hand, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything. Since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined the allotted periods and the boundaries of the dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. In other words, they should be groping their way towards God that they might find him, because he is not far from each one of us. And if you believe God's word, then you believe that God is not far from any one of us. He can be closer to us than we can even think or imagine. All we have to do is reach for him. When was the last time that you reached for God? Let's reach for him, because he is reaching for us. He wants a closer relationship than he already has with you. And only you can make that possible. We understand what it means to magnify God, to magnify Christ. Let's see if we can understand it through a microscope. Because a microscope, it magnifies things or make them appear larger than they are, or even bigger, right? You can't see things through a microscope that you can see with the naked eye. I mean, you can look at blood cells, you can look at germs and other things as well. But here's something I want you to think about that you might not have ever done. If you take a new crisp $5 bill and look at the back of it under the microscope, just above the pillars on the Lincoln Memorial, you can read the names of some of the states. You'll never see that with your naked eye. But a microscope makes things bigger. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You'll never see God with your naked eye. But if you open up the Bible and look through the Bible, you will see God. The Bible is our microscope that makes God bigger in our lives. The naked eye will never see him, because we're looking through the eyes of faith. We can't make Jesus any bigger than he is. I mean, because after all, Jesus is God. But here's where the problem lies. For some people, Jesus is only a small part of their life. And there are many, many things so much bigger to them. Jesus, listen to me, the reality is that we have made Jesus only a small part of our lives. We've got things in our lives that are bigger. Our sports is bigger. How are your team doing right now? Our schools are bigger. Don't you know that FAMU is better than LSU and whatever? We can't make these things our lives. We can't make these things bigger than God. Our work shouldn't be bigger than God. Our clubs and our socialite activities shouldn't be bigger than God. Our families should not be bigger than God. I should not make myself an idol that I become bigger than. You with me? Jesus has become only a smaller part of people's thinking. And our job is to magnify Christ, to make him appear bigger to this world, to be a light shining in darkness. That when people see us, they don't see how big we are, but they see the enormous love that God has and has put in each one of us through Jesus Christ, his Son and our Savior. You know, I don't know how many of you played sports, but in sports, the coaches tell people all the time, whatever sport you're playing, I want you to eat, sleep, walk, and talk that sport. I want you to lay down with it and wake up with it. I want it to always be on your mind. Listen, when we live with that sort of attitude, and we wake up with Jesus every morning, lay down with Jesus, and sleep with Jesus, and eat with Jesus and think about Jesus. If Jesus is always on our minds, When we live with that sort of attitude, we help make Jesus bigger also in the minds of others as well. And we help them to see just how important Jesus is. How about your glasses? Let me tell you, I wore glasses for 12 years, and I tell you, I'd see up and down, you know, I don't need these glasses. I can see without them. And that was true. And you can see without yours, but things are fuzzy. Am I right? Everything is blurred, and if people try to look through other things to see God, they won't see him unless they look through the lens of the scripture. They won't see God at all. We magnify Christ by making him clearer to others. We make him clearer by the things that we say. We make him clearer by how we live from day to day. We make him clearer in the way we walk, in our relationships with one another. We make him clear to everybody. And when people want to know what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, they ought to be able to look at our lives and see just that. So how you doing with that? How you doing with that? They ought to be able to look at you and know full well that you are magnifying God, and that your soul rejoices that God has given you salvation and placed you in the church that he purchased with his own blood. Don't take it for granted. Don't take the church of Christ for granted, because it's in the scripture. And I'm telling you, any church that you might be a part of that's not in the scripture has nothing to do with God, because we're not looking at it through the lens of the scripture. We need to live in a way that we leave a clear example of Christ. In order to do that, we have to magnify Jesus. And once we realize that the thing that can truly bring us the most joy is not something out there. The thing that could truly bring us joy is not something, but it's God himself. And when we realize that, we're going to be consumed with the idea of getting closer to God, because that's going to bring us the closest joy. You remember when you first met that pretty girl, or that pretty handsome guy? You did everything in your power to get closer to them because it was going to bring you joy. And 40 years later, listen, someone was quoted as saying this: the highest pleasure is found not merely in his gifts, but in God himself. Isn't that incredible? But in God, the highest pleasure in this life that you can ever imagine is in God himself. People want to go to heaven for a whole lot of reasons. And you'll ask them, and everybody have a different reason as to why they want to go to heaven. But the reason you ought to want to go to heaven is because God is there. He's there. God is there. And so we find such passages: rejoice in the Lord always. Delight yourself in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous one. And here's one favorite, Psalm 90 and 14. I want you to look at what it says. Satisfy us in the morning, God. Oh, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love. Why? Because if you do that, we can rejoice and be glad all of our days, not just today. If God satisfies us in the morning, if God is all that we need every day, every waking moment of our lives, we will be glad all of our days. But there are a lot of things that we need. God didn't just want us to just love him. He wants us to rejoice in him, to be glad in him, to delight in him, to enjoy him. In fact, the pleasure that God wants us to pursue in him is, in fact, the absolute greatest pleasure there is in this life. Name something else. Name just one thing, one more thing. I mean, because if you can provide me with a joy that is fuller than completely full, and longer than forever, I'll stop being a Christian and I'll follow your way. Show me something that has a greater joy than what God is offering me right now than what God can provide for me right now, and I'm gonna leave everything and I'm coming with you. But not only can you not offer me anything that's better than Christ, you can't even conceive of anything better. Your mind can't do it. Can't do it. You just can't get joy that is fuller than full. You can't enjoy a longer life than eternity. It's inconceivable. It's inconceivable. That's why Jesus died. He died to make it possible for us, because mankind, we had a close relationship with God at one time. We did, but we lost it through sin. Why? Because we preferred other things and we made them bigger than God. You see, we walked up to that tree and we already knew what God had said, but that tree was bigger than God's word was in our lives. We have a lot of trees that we look at out there in the world right now. We have the tree of the Catholic religion, the Baptist religion, the Methodist religion, the Jewish, you name it. There's a lot of trees out there that you can choose from, and we pick and we eat from that tree, but God says that's not the fruit you ought to be eating. That's not it. And we make it bigger than God's word, and we take it and we try to apply it to God's word, but it just doesn't fit. And it'll never fit. Jesus died on the cross. He gave us the opportunity to be forgiven. But not only did he give us the opportunity to be forgiven, you know, listen, I want you to hear me. He gave us so much more than that. But sometimes that's all we concentrate on, and in fact, sometimes that's all we talk about. Have you been forgiven for your sins? You know, Jesus died on the cross so that you can be forgiven. So we talk, you need to be baptized. All that's true and right. But I don't believe that forgiveness is the ultimate goal of the gospel. It's a means to something greater. Let me give you an example. Just suppose you sin against someone, and you have, and you hurt them, and you hurt them with your words. And the things between y'all are not very good at all. Notice I said y'all. We from Louisiana, visitors. The things between y'all are not very good at all. Because of what you've done, you need to find forgiveness. But not as an end in itself. You need forgiveness because you want that relationship to be restored. And you ought to want it to be restored because it is broken right now. You want the enjoyment of their presence without the wall that stands between you because of what you said. You want it, but your pride won't allow you to move the wall. The same thing is true with God. If you're truly born again and your sins are forgiven, and forgiveness is not the goal, but God is the goal, we'll have his presence. And his presence will be with us without that wall that stands between us because of what we did. Oh, we want it. We want God to be our goal. So the goal of the gospel is not merely to be forgiven. The goal of the gospel is to be in the presence of God. The goal of the gospel is to magnify God, not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of salvation for those that believe, from the Jews first, even to the Greeks. We want God in our lives to be magnified, that people might see Christ in us and glorify God. We want his presence. And when we understand that, when we want that more than anything else, we're going to find ourselves filled with joy in the presence of God. You know what that's going to do? It's going to shape everything that we do. Everything. Because God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. In him. We exalt God. We magnify God. We glorify God. Notice again what Paul says in Philippians 1, 20 through 23. He says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Paul is saying, listen, I'm going to magnify God. I'm going to exalt Christ in my body by either life or death. And he tells us in verse 21 how that's possible. For me to live is Christ. You ever quote that over and over again? And what does it mean to you? He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He says, it doesn't really matter whether I live or die, because either way, I gain the presence of God. I get something good. If I live, I get to continue to serve Christ with you. And if I die, I get to be with Christ. And death is gain, because it brings me closer to Christ. Let me tell you something. When you have a great relationship with Christ in this life, it will not be able to compare to that life experience and eternity with God when you die. Because when I die, I'm going to be with Christ in a whole new way. When I die, it'll be better by far. It'll be far better than what I'm going through now, because I've got to choose to put my problems in a hat and decide whether I want to take my problems out again or take somebody else's problems. My life with Christ will be better by far. He's going to wipe all tears away. There'll be no problems, no darkness. Paul says, Christ is exalted in my body, either life or death. For me to live is Christ, and for to die is gain. And all he's saying there, all I want to do is to be close to God. Have you ever said that? All I ever want is to be close to God. That's what brought Paul joy. Again, God is more glorified in us when we are satisfied in him. Even in your suffering, we're satisfied in him. Even in the middle of your problems, when we're satisfied in him. Even when you're going through something that you don't think anybody understands, we're satisfied in him. Magnifying God is our solution. It's our solution. I mean, when we pray and we talk to God, you know, it tells us a lot of things. Whenever you pray, some people may pray something like this: Lord, please help me to exalt Christ today. Or some may say, Father, you know, help me to show others how great Christ is. Help me to glorify your son today. Give me a heart to magnify him. And all those are wonderful prayers. Nothing wrong with any of those. Instead, let's magnify God with our prayers. Lord, please fill my mouth today with Christ's exalting wisdom. Fill up my heart with Christ's exalting encouragement. Lord, I pray now that I might experience Christ's exalting joy, that I might make Christ a sacrifice of exaltation in my own life as I pour out my heart on the altar of God, as I sacrifice myself before God each day. Lord, let it be Christ exalting. As I serve my family, let it be Christ exalting. As I tell people that I love them, which so many of us take for granted, let that statement be Christ exalting and mean it. Because to say that I love you and to say that I love God, it's two different things. But it ought to be the same thing, because you can't love God if you don't love your brother. I don't hear you. We've got to pursue the highest purpose of our existence. And by exalting Christ in everything that we think and feel and do, we'll get the job done for us. Too many people talk about God, but they don't talk to God. Too many people think that they have a relationship with God, but they don't have a relationship with the people that are nearest to them. What does that mean? What does all of that mean? It means that you're not magnifying God. You know, when Paul prayed for the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 1:11 to 12, he said that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, listen, may be glorified in you. May be glorified in you. In other words, what Paul is saying, he says, listen, I'm praying that exalting Christ will be the goal in everything that I do. We ought to set that goal right now, right this minute. Let what we do, all that we do, exalt God. Exalt him. And if you're going to resolve to do that, don't just resolve to do it. Get up off your thumbs and get it done. Get it done. So the name of God, the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ might be glorified in the body, in your life. You know, something real important happens when instead of listing all the things as a separate item, we add the adjective of exalting Christ and we use it over and over again. Lord, can I just have a little Christ exalting patience? Because my patience is just not what I need. You see, we got a definition of everything. We can play it any way we want to play it. But let's have a Christ exalting patience. Let's have Christ exalting kindness. Well, you know, I was kind to him. I mean, one time, but I was kind. Let's have a Christ exalting gentleness about ourselves. Let's have a Christ exalting faithfulness, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Let's exalt Christ as we look at him through the eyes of faith and magnify God in our lives, because it matters in everything that we do. There's no part of life, no matter how seemingly insignificant it is, in which exalting Christ is not important. Not important. Because Paul says, listen, and I want you to hear this, because we've heard it over and over and over again, but I want you to consider it real well this morning. Whether you eat or drink, you know the scripture, or whatever you do, do it all to the, we know that. Whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let's magnify God in all that we do. You know, a lot of us Christians, we sometimes find ourselves walking down the road about believers and unbelievers. Let me just say this to you for 1 minute. You may think that unbelievers don't really pray, but I'm going to tell you that they do. They do. And they ask God for hundreds of things that you ask God for, that I ask God for. They ask for daily bread, protection, health, joy, a good marriage, children who make good decisions. They ask for good jobs and to break bad habits and forgiveness for the mistakes they've made. They pray for all of that. But unbelievers want all of these things, and they pray for those things. But let me just tell you one thing. You don't need the transforming work of the Holy Spirit to want any of that. So what's the difference between our prayer for these things and theirs? There's one key difference, is that our deepest desire, the one thing that is more important than anything else, is that Christ be exalted. Everything that we ask God for is to exalt Christ, is to further the kingdom of God. But some people ask just to ask. But our love for Christ holds him in the highest regard. It magnifies him. And you realize that Christ is not your butler, and that our prayers are not a bell that we're just ringing so God could bring us what we want. Let me tell you, God ought to be what we want. Amen. God ought to be all that you want. God ought to be all that we exalt and honor and magnify. God ought to be glorified in everything that we do. Let me just tell you, doesn't matter who you are. If you listen to people as they pray, you're going to find out what's most important to them. You're going to find out. Yep. And when you pray, you're going to find out what's important to you as well. And exalting God and making him bigger than anything else will set your prayers far apart from the prayers of unbelievers. It's about exalting God. There are people who pursue everything but God, who pursue everything but salvation, who magnify fish stories as opposed to magnifying and exalting God. So I say from God's word to unbelievers, listen to me, and to unbelieving Christians, this is what I'm going to say to you. Be still, Psalm says, and know that I am God. You just be still. Sometimes you need to just zip it up. You be still and know that I'm God. Recognize, understand that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in this earth. Paul says to the Jews dispersed in 1 Peter chapter 5, be still. Therefore, he says in 1 Peter 5, 6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Due time. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the writer says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And old James kicks in James 4:10. We know the scripture. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And I don't know if you believe that or not. I can't hear that. You humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. But you have to humble yourselves. We've got too much pride in the way. We've got too much of ourselves in the way. All of self and none of thee. You humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. I want to encourage everybody to bring and allow God to destroy your sin that's bigger than life. To bring and allow God to destroy all those problems that you've made bigger than life. Because we all have problems, right? I want to encourage everybody today to let God be true and every man become a liar. I want to encourage everybody today to let God be your satisfaction. Let him be all that you need. And let him satisfy your every need, because we want a lot. But God knows what you need before you even ask for it. Even ask for it. And what we need more than anything else, what I need, what you need, what we need more than anything else, is to be satisfied with God alone. Just him alone. And if God is what you want, if God is all you want, and you want him exalted and honored and glorified and everything, then what you need to do is hear the gospel. You got to believe that Jesus the Christ, the Son of the true and living God. You got to repent of your sins. You got to confess Christ. You know, we talk about everything and nothing, and we talk about God and we don't even know who he is. We talk about people in Hollywood, the same we talk about God, like we know him. Like we know him. Oh man, you know, I love such and such because she's a good actress. I love such and such, he's a good actor. I want to be him. Don't even know him. Nothing about his life. All is what you see on TV is not what you always get in real life. Am I right? We got to confess Christ. We've got to be baptized in Christ for the remission of our sins. Listen to what he says. He says in Acts 22:16, Saul, Saul, why tarriest thou? What you waiting for, Saul? You arise now and be baptized, washing away your sins. We need to magnify God in all that we do. For we're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. How? Through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You can't put him on any other way. And Acts 4:12 says, for there is no other name under heaven, that means in the realm of this earth, which all of us live. There's no other name under heaven whereby which you must be saved. Don't take it for granted. That's in the name of Jesus Christ, by his authority, by his grace. So if you want to magnify God in your life, if you want salvation to come to your life, if you want eternity above anything else, if you want to go to heaven because that's where God is, why don't you come as we stand and sing the invitation song. Ten free, tis for you. Whether we want to respond to the gospel, will you come? That we might magnify God collectively as a body in Christ. Will there be one today to respond to the gospel of Christ? Will you come?
From the source above, and he bids us all freely drink.
Will there be another to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Will you come?
Will you
the fountain
come?
Is free.
To the fountain free.
Will there be one? Will you come?
Will you come? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. There's a fountain.